Today's broadcast is pre-recorded.
You know, in my mind, I went back to a book that a lady gave me. I think her name was Shirley. What's it called? Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. It's so fascinating. And it was written, you know, just about 100 years ago. Maybe just shy of 100 years. One thing that I was thinking of, there was a story of one particular prospector and miner up in the Yukon Territory. And the gentleman, he was living a good life. He was looking for precious metals so he could make his fortune and go back to his family on the East Coast. But Dr. Price tells the story of these prospectors. They would be eating their canned goods, and they would be eating their processed foods, you know, stuff that has a long shelf life. The problem is they start developing scurvy. There's one story, though, in particular. One of the prospectors just nearly went blind because the pain was so violent in the back of his eyes that he feared that he was going to go insane. Of course, he didn't realize that the problem he had was a vitamin A deficiency. Well, one day, while this prospector was weeping in despair and he could find no solution to his problem, he thought to himself, I am never going to see my family again. What have I done? He encountered an old Indian who quickly recognized the man's problem. After the older Indian caught a fish, he threw the fish on the bank and he told the prospector that he needed to eat the flesh all around the head of the fish and in the tissues, especially eat whatever you can that's found just behind the eyes. Well, what happened was the prospector was so desperate that he did that. I'm certain he probably ate it raw. Well, guess what happened? In a few hours, his sight began to return. The horrible, horrible pain that he had in his eyes dissipated and largely subsided, and within 2 days, his eyes were normal. Of course, with modern science, we've established that the eye tissue of an animal is absolutely one of the richest sources of vitamin A. Now, in the real world, most people aren't going to go around and catch fish and eat their eyes, but what we do have is we have what's called liver, which calf liver or beef liver, I know it's a running joke. Most people don't care for it and like it, but if you desire to become stronger, then you might want to consider it. Now, I want to read this to you right here. I came across a study. When it comes to the percent of the population over the age of 65 that has two or more chronic diseases, as we measure or compare the health of Americans versus the rest of the world, well, we are number one. That means we have more chronic diseases than any other people on the planet. And so is it okay if you ask yourself the question, well, if our system of taking care of health problems or preventing health problems is so great, then why do we have the most disease of any people? I read an article in Bloomberg, a magazine, a couple years ago. It says Americans are retiring later, dying sooner, and sicker in between. Of course, that does feed directly into some healthcare models where they want customers for life. Well, you know, you could say the same thing about me. Maybe I do too. But I'm not trying to arbitrarily see how many prescription drugs I can put a person on. What if it's just as simple as your body is lacking the very thing that it needs, kind of like the engineer/prospector who had horrible eye pain, so violent and so desperate he was, he thought he was going to go insane, as he thought he would never see again. The solution? Vitamin A. Where did it come from? It came from a fish. I would say that's a pretty good trade. Indian gives you a fish, you eat the tissue behind the eyes, and you get cured of your pain. Now listen to this right here. There was a very, to me, a worrisome study published in April of 2019 by a company called Blue Cross Blue Shield. You may not have heard of them, but they have a little bit to do with health insurance and paying for health claims and receiving premiums from you, the insured. Here's what they're saying now. They're noticing that among millennials, health starts declining by age 27. I thought I'd never read that. You should be in the prime of your life at age 27. Do you know a 27-year-old that has one problem after the other? Well, their health is already starting that process of this downward decline in the health. You're not supposed to decline when you're 27 years old. Now, what Blue Cross Blue Shield did, all they did was they compared to the previous generation, those that were born in the 1960s and 70s. When you're faced with being 27 years of age, and all of a sudden now there's more health claims than ever before, it makes you begin to wonder. So now, after the age of 20, you're on multiple medications. And it may be as simple as two psychotropics, one blood pressure medication, a diuretic, and of course you're going to have something for your stomach. And then most likely you'll need something to help you poop. Anyway, my point is our current system, it's in question. It's okay to question these things. Now what I want to do is I have this old book at my office. It's called Nutritional Influences on Illness. It's a source book of clinical research. It's written by Dr. Melvin R. Werbach, MD. This is the second edition. I know this is old school because what Dr. Werbach did, he kind of accumulated all the data and all the research long before we had the age of the internet. So he earned every article that he published in here. Let me share this with you right here. This is just a very simple idea. Just consider it. You know as well as I do that pain will literally wreck you. And so there's some people, they really suffer horribly from what's called rheumatism, or they have arthritis. Let me read this study for you. It comes from the year 1976. And the title of the article: An investigation of the therapeutic value of a copper bracelet, the copper bracelet, dermal assimilation of copper in arthritic and rheumatoid conditions. This comes from the journal Agents and Actions, 1976, volume 6, page 454. Just listen to this and just think about it for a second. And maybe you personally don't have a lot of pain, but maybe you know somebody that does have a lot of pain. Here we go. 240 cases of severe arthritis, they were randomized into three groups. Group number one, all they did was they wore a copper bracelet for 1 month. And when I say a copper bracelet, I'm talking 100% copper, not 1% copper, 99% lead. So group number one, they wore a copper bracelet for 1 month, followed by a placebo bracelet for 1 month. That means the placebo bracelet, it didn't contain copper. Group number two, they wore two bracelets in the reverse order. Okay? So month number one, they wore the placebo bracelet. Month number two, they wore the copper bracelet. Group number three, they didn't wear any bracelet upon their wrist for the entire 2 months of the study. Okay. Of those who noted a difference between the two bracelets, more perceived the copper to be more effective. Okay. Previous users of the copper bracelets deteriorated while wearing the placebo. Did you hear what I just said? As long as you were wearing the copper bracelet, the severe arthritis began to diminish. Now this is what I find interesting right here. They tried to determine the average loss of copper from the bracelet. So as long as the bracelet is in contact with your skin, some of it's going to rub off on you. Does that make sense? 13 milligrams a day. Isn't that interesting? So, anyway, that's food for thought right there. Now, here's another one right here. This is in the same category from Dr. Werbach's book about people that have arthritis and rheumatism and their muscles just hurt all the time. Okay, here's an experimental double-blind study. And just take it for what it is. 81 patients with disabling muscular pain, stiffness, and aching of long duration. Now, does that describe you? Probably not. But do you know anybody that just hurts badly all the time? Their muscles ache, they're stiff all over. It doesn't go away. Well, guess what they did? They gave them sodium selenite. To you and I, that would be known as the trace mineral selenium. Following supplementation, what they did was they tried to measure a very potent antioxidant system in the body called glutathione, or glutathione peroxidase. And they noticed that when they gave the selenium to these patients with horrible pain, that the glutathione peroxidase levels, that's an enzyme, increased by 75%. So what was the result? Mean pain score reduction was significantly more frequent and more marked among patients whose glutathione peroxidase levels increased than those whose levels decreased. It says, while pain score reduction was more pronounced among treated patients, I can't read the rest of that, it's blocked out. Okay, here's another one that's real simple right here. I like this one a whole lot. Who's ever heard of a supplement called glucosamine sulfate? I don't have the article directly in front of me, but you need to remember this one. They followed a group of men and women that had bulging and ruptured discs, and it was confirmed on MRI. I mean, it's one of the most favorite tests of all time for an orthopedic physician to order when he's trying to evaluate the conditions of a person's musculoskeletal system. Because an MRI, it does a great job of showing if the intervertebral disc is just bulging outward toward the spinal cord where the spinal nerve roots are. But in the study, it showed that if people took, or the people with a bulging disc could take glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin sulfate and MSM for about 2 years, they could actually demonstrate on the MRI that the bulging disc would start to draw back into place. Now, that is amazing. Okay. Here's an experimental study. It comes from the World Congress of Sports Medicine, Vienna. I don't know where Vienna is. Is that Switzerland or Austria? 1982. Okay, I'm going to read this to you. 51 young male athletes, the average age 19.3 years old, and 17 young female athletes, which the average age is 18.9, or all, right at 19 also. Well, what they had is they had a condition called chondromalacia patella. And I'm telling you, that can be brutally painful. It's basically where the cartilage on the underside of the kneecap, it rubs the wrong way. It snaps, it pops, it gets out of joint, it hurts. You don't get any rest or relief of pain when you lay down and when you sit up. It's just your knee is constantly aching and hurting. So what they did was, this is 82. They gave these individuals, these young athletes, glucosamine sulfate, 500 milligrams three times a day for 40 days, followed by, and they reduced it, 250 milligrams three times a day for 90 to 100 days. All right? So there's your dose. First 40 days, 1,500 milligrams of only glucosamine sulfate. The next 100 days, or 90 days, they gave them 750 milligrams of glucosamine sulfate for the day. So here's the result of the study. 76% they had complete involution of their symptoms. That means all the pain went away at rest. They could walk without pain. They could stand without pain. They could sit without pain. And also during movement. And when the doctor would palpate the kneecap, all the popping and the rubbing noise, any pain at displacement, pain at pressure, medial or lateral side pain, it went away after 4 to 5 months. Isn't that interesting? Here's the follow-up right here. They did a follow-up 12 months later, and they showed no signs of recurrence of the chondromalacia patella. They even rated the degree of it, and just about everyone had some benefit. Isn't that interesting? I was going to read a part about the synovial fluid, and they were just pointing toward some of the athletes. They had horrible fluid build up around their knee, and that would be no fun. But you see the simplicity? Glucosamine sulfate is a substance that's found in nature. Okay. Someone called me and asked me a question about this, and they asked me to cover it. So I'm gonna borrow from Dr. Melvin Werbach's book here. And let me see right here. The topic the person asked me to speak on briefly was about ulcers. Always having problem with stomach ulcers. So what I want you to do is I want you to just consider this information. Okay, here's an observational study. It comes from the British Journal of Nutrition, 1989. Compared to 40 healthy controls, dietary fiber was significantly lower in 38 patients with peptic ulcer disease and in 40 patients that had non-ulcer dyspepsia. Okay? All they're saying is, if you're not eating fruit and vegetables, and in this case also grains that are in their whole food state, you're more prone to having an ulcer that doesn't go away, or stomach pain that doesn't go away. Here's another one right here. This comes from the journal Lancet, 1982, which the Lancet is an extremely prestigious medical journal. 73 people who recently healed duodenal ulcers, they were asked to change their diet. On a random basis, 38 were told to eat lots of whole grain bread, porridge made from wheat. Have you had your porridge today? Barley or oats and lots of vegetables, while 35 of these individuals, they're told to completely avoid those foods. Are you with me? After 6 months, 80% of the people that were in the low fiber group, they suffered a relapse. How do they know that? They document it by doing endoscopy. They can run the scope down the mouth and throat, and they can see the ulcer there. And so compared to those in the high fiber group, well, those that didn't eat the fiber, it says 14 of 15 who ate the least amount of fiber developed new ulcers. So this doesn't have to be a high-tech conversation. Okay, here's another one right here. 78 patients, this comes from the journal Gut, 1990. I think it's volume 31, pages 993 through 996. 78 patients were compared to age and sex-matched community controls. Relative risk for duodenal ulcer tended to be reduced with a low refined sugar intake and a high vegetable fiber intake. That ain't rocket science. Eat more vegetables and consume less sugar. The relationship with low refined sugar diet intake persisted after being controlled for smoking, social class, relative weight. Anyway, do you get what I'm saying here? When you're wanting ulcers to heal, why don't you go to the very substance that your body requires? You got to have nutrients from real food. It's kind of like I had a lady in my office this week and was telling me what we're going to do is we're going to clear out all the Pop-Tarts of the house. That's just an example. Yes, I understand that Pop-Tarts contained what are called, they're fortified, which means there's no nutrients left in the Pop-Tarts, so they have to add some back, and so they just kind of chemically spray back in the iron. And they might even spray back in some zinc and some B vitamins. But those aren't anything even closely related to what would look like in nature. Okay, this comes from the British Medical Journal, February the 16th, 1980. 41 patients followed a low-carbohydrate diet for 3 months. In the low-carbohydrate diet, they got between 60 and 70 grams of carbohydrates a day, followed by a high-carbohydrate diet, which is the standard gastric diet for 3 months. That's what's recommended. 28 out of 41 felt better on the low-carbohydrate diet. The bottom line is, ulcers came back when they ate the sugar. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a question for one of my friend's husband. A nerve study was recently done and an MRI, and they found a disc tear in his lower back that's pressing a nerve, and they were saying that it will require surgery to repair. Do you have any advice or other routes he could take other than surgery or anything that could help alleviate the
Does he have horrific leg pain?
Horrific leg pain?
Mm-hmm. And I'm just asking, is leg pain worse than back pain?
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Well, that's a pretty good indication that they're telling him the truth. There's a significant pressure directly on the nerve. Now, if you will, just fantasize with me for a second, or just use your imagination. What would have happened if this was the year 1867? And you were out, you know, putting up hay in the barn so the cattle would have something to eat during the harsh winters on the plains of Nebraska. And what would happen if you fell from the hayloft onto the cart below and you ruptured a disc in your back?
Oh, my gosh.
No surgical intervention was available.
Right.
There was probably no doctor that could help that. Mm-hmm. They would just start the process of going, okay, what are we going to do? And so what I want to do is I just want to give you some ideas, and I'm not trying to say that I have a perfect solution for him, because mm-hmm. there are times, and so for example, if you get a chunk of the disc that breaks free and starts floating around the spinal column, that's called a sequestered fragment, and sometimes they don't actually find those until they go in and they start cleaning up or trimming off those torn parts of the disc. But what I want to do is let's just focus on the very things that can help restore this.
Okay.
Now, the first one, I don't have one scientific article. All I have is experience on this one. But there's a plant called the aloe vera plant. It's a cactus.
Right.
I remember years ago, NASA sent some plants up to the space station, or the International Space Station that we share with, I guess, Russia and maybe other countries too. But in the study, they found out that aloe vera was so good at filtering impurities from the air. And you know, if you break a leaf of aloe vera off and you rub it on the skin, you talk about amazing to take away the pain of getting a burn of some kind. It's just, it's without peer. But I believe that the gelatinous content of the aloe vera plant, what it does is it helps rejuvenate the disc that's been injured. Now, that's just my idea. I'm not saying that takes the place of a surgery if that's what the guy needs, but what he can do is bunch of aloe vera plants, just break off one leaf, flay it open, scrape the gel into a blender, add a little bit of water or maybe just a little bit of juice like apple juice or grape juice, blend it up and drink it.
Mm-hmm.
And that has some of the greatest healing properties of all time. I don't know if you've seen those videos on YouTube, but they do the very same experiment. They use just a little bit of water to make a gel-like paste, and then they go from plant to plant to plant, and they get a clipping or a cutting. And so let's just say, for example, there is a particular fruit tree that you like. Well, I've seen those videos where they take and just smear the gel of the aloe vera plant all over the where the cutting has been cut, and they stick it in a pot, and every single time it grows roots. And of course, the sales pitch of the video is this is one of the greatest ways that you can stimulate the growth of roots. But my point is, what you're wanting is you're wanting to stimulate the body to repair, repair, repair. So in order to repair, you've got to grow some new tissue. And so that's what we want. And so aloe vera would be one of the things that he could consume day in and day out, and that can be in the form of aloe vera juice. It could be aloe vera gel. You could actually go to the health food store and you could look on the shelf for what's called freeze-dried aloe vera capsules.
Okay.
And so they'll be in the dried form, but once you swallow them with some water in your tummy, they will kind of plump back up into aloe vera juice. But aloe vera is amazing when it comes to healing injuries to the musculoskeletal system.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not trying to overpromise anything, but I'm just telling you what I would do if it were me.
Okay, okay.
Now, the other thing that I talked about this morning, anytime that there's a ruptured or a bulging disc, this is actually an application for a supplement called glucosamine sulfate, chondroitin sulfate, and MSM, or methyl sulfonyl methane. And those can be taken in just supplement form. They're not expensive. I would imagine a bottle would cost, what, $9 maybe? Maybe $7.99. But if you took that every day, what you're doing is you're helping the body repair and to heal.
And can you say that again? I'm sorry.
Glucosamine sulfate, chondroitin sulfate, and then the last one is called MSM for short.
Okay.
And you can find formulations where all three of those are definitely included in the batch.
Okay. Glucosamine. And how can you spell out the second word? I have the glucosamine, I mean sulfate. What's the, how do you spell the samine?
Okay. G-L-U.
Yeah, I have the glucose.
C-O-S-A-M-I-N-E. Glucosamine. It's like a mine or a mine.
Okay, got it. Sulfate.
Okay. Even if you just phonically, if you got on your phone and said, tell me where I can get glucosamine sulfate, your computer would tell you where to go.
Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. You know where they would say?
Drug Emporium?
Probably. So, at the very least, you can look at those things right there. The other thing that I think is so important, we've got to find some way to start doing therapy with him immediately.
Yes, and he's done the therapy for, I think, 6 weeks or something. And so they have to go back to the emergency room twice because the pain was so excruciating. He's had 30 years of military, retired from the military, and then he was working just to keep busy, and he strained a muscle at work lifting something.
Oh, no.
And this is how this all happened. So, I mean, he was fine after retiring from the military 30 years.
Oh, my goodness. Have you ever seen those gravity, well, kind of like you just hook your ankles into it and you hang upside down?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he's tried one of those.
I doubt it, seriously.
Okay. Is he a big guy or normal size or what?
No, he's not big at all. He's very tall, slender guy, but not too slim. But
he's built like a commando NBA, then.
Almost like an NBA player.
Yeah, you know, no doubt. And so those are some things that you would look at right there. But, you know, there's no way on the radio I can tell the severity by just talking about an MRI, but it must be bad if he's been back to the ER twice because of pain.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty bad, so.
Well, he could start drinking aloe vera every day, all day long.
Okay.
And I can guarantee you he'll have no trouble with constipation.
Okay. Yeah, that's for sure.
Which a lot of those drugs that they use are so bad on the gut anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I am so thankful for these suggestions. I just feel really bad for him and his wife. So, yeah.
Well, and I wish we had one of those traction units where we could kind of flip him upside down and let him just hang for about 30 seconds and come back upright and see what happens. And just do that over and over again. You're trying to pump the fluid back in the disc.
Oh, okay. And what is that device called? Track what?
Well, I call it just a hanging traction unit, but if you were to, basically it looks like a long cot, and you just strap your feet in there and flip it over while you're upside down.
Yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah.
A lot of online magazines, they'll sell those for like $179. Mm-hmm. But who knows, there may be a garage sale around the corner this weekend where you can go get one for $5.
Okay.
Or they'll pay you $5 to take it.
Okay, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I hope those things really, really help.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, you don't want to ever underestimate the power of some type of traction to try to pull the disc back in place. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have a quick question on the ulcers. You were talking about ulcers of the stomach. What about ulcers of the mouth?
That can be a different deal, but let me kind of break it down to you. Are you really sensitive to sunshine?
Well, it's not for me. I have a neighbor. She's 83. Oh, she's diabetic. Okay. And she keeps getting these ulcers in her mouth that are really painful. And so I told her yesterday I would give you a call and see what you might suggest.
All right. Well, let me just try to give you the simple things that she has access to.
Okay.
And I don't know that I'm going to go in any particular order, but the vitamin deficiency is called a vitamin F. So we're talking about essential fatty acids. So in her situation, it may be that she just starts consuming cod liver oil every day.
Okay.
And it could be in a liquid form. She could swish it around her mouth. She can get it lemon-flavored, orange, strawberry, peaches and cream. I made the last one up. But if you have cod liver oil, see if that doesn't stop the process of the ulcerations in the mouth.
Okay.
The other thing that I would ask her to do is start eating okra if she's willing to.
Okay.
I'm sure you have okra in your garden right now, and you were looking for an excuse to harvest and cook it for her, right?
Yeah. Are you looking over my fence?
I am right now. I see that robotic crow over there. That's really a drone. It's not a real crow. It just looks like a real crow.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be too much longer till they have mechanical birds that are actually drones.
Yeah, true.
Okay, so that's one of the things right there. The other thing that I always think about with mouth ulcers is just the potential for overconsumption of carbohydrates. So I'm not trying to be critical at all, but if we could give her pleasure from eating things like... if she said, I need something sweet, I'd say, well, here's a watermelon. Let's sprinkle some Celtic or Pink Himalayan or Redmond salt on it. Eat that for a snack. Then I think we could start the process of healing the ulcers in the mouth. But almost always when there's ulcers in the mouth, there's just too much sugar in the diet or too much sugar in the blood.
Okay.
Because all those excessive carbohydrates, they just deplete the body of the substances that are needed. The other thing that I always think of is vitamin A. All the mucus-lined membranes from inside the sinuses to the back of the throat to the lining of the cheeks and the gums and the lips and the tongue and the mouth, they all need vitamin A. And so I know what I'm fixing to tell you. I don't expect it to be well received, but I think if a person that's having ulcers, if they can just convince themselves that eating liver and onions once a week is a way that they can start fortifying and strengthening their body and replenishing nutrients, then I think that would be a move in the right direction. And plus, I don't even know of a food that can even compare with the amount of whole vitamin A that you're going to get from eating beef liver.
Okay. She won't eat beef liver. I've already tried that.
How about at gunpoint?
That might work. I'm joking.
How about if you hit it in a meatloaf?
That might help, too.
That's where you go over there and go, now, tell me if there's anything really unusual about the meatloaf today. That might tip her off.
Yeah, I'll have to try that on my sister. She doesn't like liver either.
I know. And you know, the thing of it that's so interesting to me is, do you know what copper is?
Yes.
I kind of mentioned it earlier about people that have horrible arthritis, but they wear a copper bracelet and they report. And of course, I'm so smart, sir. I notice you're wearing a copper bracelet. Does it help? And you know what they always say? They say, "Oh my goodness, yes. I've tried with a copper bracelet. I've tried without." And usually, it's kind of funny. They'll tell me, "You know how many copper bracelets I've gone through, young man?" And what happens is you wear the copper off. But the tissues of the mouth always begin to break down when you're low in copper. They really do.
Okay.
And so the amount of copper that you find in beef liver is just without peer. It's incredible.
Hmm. Well, I'll suggest it to her again. Okay. So I appreciate
she could be free of mouth ulcers. All right.
Yeah, thank you much.
You're welcome. Have a great day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
I've had some people tell me that if they like to eat soft tacos, that what they'll do is they'll take a strip of the liver and just sneak in there and cover it up with hot sauce with some fajita meat of some kind. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Would you give me a little information about estrogen blockers? And what is the benefit and what is the negative benefit?
Are you talking about a pharmaceutical drug to block estrogen?
Yes.
Do you know what the name of it is?
No, I don't.
Is it Arimidex?
I don't know, Dr. Morgan. All she said, the doctor said, was estrogen blocker.
And so, like, if a woman had a biopsy taken from her breast...
Yes.
Yes, and they send it to the pathology or the histology lab, and they say, well, there you go. It's testing positive for it's estrogen receptor positive. So if I can, give me liberty here and give me about 3 or 4 minutes. Is that okay with you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, number one. And if we went to a chemistry class in high school, they have what's called the periodic chart or the periodic table. And in there, you're going to find things like hydrogen, helium, carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, stuff like that. And those are all essential to life. I mean, everything on the table, we probably need some amount of it just to be able to live here on the planet. This is just God's great design in giving us what we need. But there's one particular section of the table. There's a group of elements that are known as halogens. Have you ever heard the term halogens?
No, sir.
Those are going to be things like bromine, iodine, fluorine, chlorine, stuff like that. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Well, there was a time that we didn't have a lot of bromine and fluorine in the food supply or the water supply, but in modern times, there's a lot of it. I mean, whether you realize it or not, they add fluoride to water.
Yes. I knew that.
Okay. And when you eat just modern store-bought bread or pastries or any baked goods that contain wheat, there's a pretty good chance that it has a lot of bromine in it. Now, what I'm going to say is this. Those halogens, if they build up in the body, they can actually take a female hormone that's supposed to be good, such as estrogen, and they can convert it into a very toxic form of estrogen. And under those circumstances, what happens is the body tries to get rid of it because the toxic forms of estrogen that contain bromine and fluorine, they are really rough on the female hormones. And so let me give you, I'm slightly switching gears. So back in the year 1999, they did a survey of the entire planet and they wanted to find out which region of the world has by far and away the lowest occurrence of breast cancer. And they found out in 1999 that was Okinawa, Japan. Now, on the island, they consume a lot of iodine because that's just their normal diet. They're eating seafood. They're eating things like octopus, squid, things I don't normally eat and probably... Or do you eat octopus every day?
No, I don't.
No, but you realize if you ate seaweed, if you had kelp, if you had vegetables from the ocean and the seafood, you would be getting a lot of iodine. And by far and away, they had the lowest occurrence of breast cancer. Now, this is so interesting to me because I hear women make these comments over and over again. Once you start giving a woman elemental iodine, her body starts using it, and what it does is it depletes the toxic hormones in the human body, which I realize I'm not directly answering your question. Mm-hmm. So instead of taking a drug that's an estrogen blocker, what we're doing is we're trying to get to the root cause of the problem and just help the body kick out the toxic hormones.
Yes.
And so when a person supplements their diet with iodine, that's what starts happening. And one of the ways that they know that the toxic hormones are coming out is that a woman will make the comment that she has this yellow to orange to brown crusty discharge that emanates from the female breast. And it can be kind of a freaky deal where you go, what is the deal? What is this stuff oozing out of the nipple? Mm-hmm. But you got to understand that when you put the good iodine in, it pushes the bad out. So is that okay if I give you one idea? One of the ways that you get to the core of the matter is by taking supplemental iodine.
Okay.
Now, number two. When you're trying to help assist your body in kicking out toxic hormones or block them, then what you have to do is just wrap your mind around eating what's called the brassicae family or cruciferous vegetables. And so I asked a man the other day, I said, what do you like to eat? He said, I like to eat broccoli. I'm going, way to go, dude. Mm-hmm. But when you eat broccoli and asparagus and kale and cabbage and Brussels sprouts and, let me see, radishes, things like that.
Have you been raiding my refrigerator? Go ahead, Doctor.
No, this is good. Yes, I have that drone. It's a crow with laser eyes. No, but see, that's good. You and I are on the same page because what you're doing is you're trying to make it easy for your body to detoxify toxic forms of estrogen.
Right.
And right now, in the world that we're living in, they have all these xeno and synthetic estrogens and all manner of plastic this and plastic that we can.
Yes, sir.
So when you start making choices to eat things like Brussels sprouts, what you're doing is you're helping your body help itself.
Okay.
You know, I told the lady that just called a while ago that one of the greatest things that you can do to make your body stronger is just eating beef liver once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I realize I'm not going to get many takers on that, but I'm telling you the truth because it has copper. And copper is one of the ways that your body pushes out and detoxifies old hormones that need to be eliminated. Now, in the real world, you've got to have potassium, you've got to have selenium, magnesium, and zinc, and B vitamins. And when you have those, the body says, oh my goodness, all of a sudden now we can detoxify these hormones. And if you eat a higher fiber diet, you make it so easy for the bile salts from your liver and your gallbladder to bind to those toxic forms of estrogen and just kick them out.
That's great news, Dr. Morgan.
And then another point here. It's been a while since I read this one article, but what they did was they compared women that are very sedentary compared to women that are very active. And you know what it's like to be active all day long, don't you?
I do, Dr. Morgan, very active.
So as long as you have strength within your bones, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be up and moving and cleaning and organizing and running on an errand to see somebody that's sick, or you're going to go to the grocery store to help yourself or somebody else.
Right.
But that's what being active is. And so the more active you are, the much better disposition your body has at helping it kick out the toxic hormones.
Sounds great, Dr. Morgan.
So, yes, technically you can take a drug that's going to be an estrogen blocker. The problem is they have the highest rate of ovarian problems and uterine bleeding. And so it's very common when women, no matter what the age, when they start taking them, they may have to have a hysterectomy just because they can't stop the bleeding.
Wow. I knew there were a lot of side effects from any form of drug, and I knew it was not good, and I just needed to hear you say what the side effects were and what anybody...
Well, I mean, it's not what I would call rocket science. If you ask any woman that's taking an estrogen blocker, she'll say, yeah, I've got horrible hot flashes, I have painful, tender, swollen breasts all the time. It's just like if you were going to hug a little old lady at church. Do you want to feel horrible chest pain? Well, no, you don't.
Right.
But that would be really unusual to me if you're already in menopause and all of a sudden your bleeding starts up again or the flow.
Right.
And you're going, what is the deal? Well, that's because of the estrogen blocker. And so I think it's good to ask those questions. Another thing that I would say, one of the gatekeepers for estrogen is just good, beneficial bacteria that live in your gut.
So sauerkraut.
What'd you say?
Sauerkraut.
Yes, absolutely. When you eat raw sauerkraut or like raw kimchi or kombucha, what you're doing is you're getting cultures of good, beneficial microbes to help your body.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know what I figured out this week?
What?
I figured out that every human being is going to have plenty of opportunities to deal with emotional problems and issues. Would you agree with that?
It would, yes.
And every human being is going to have one opportunity after the other to deal with a health problem over their lifetime. Or actually, usually they're going to have a whole bunch of health issues. But what matters is, how do you respond to it? What are you going to do? And so either we do things to help your body clean itself up or to become stronger. Mm-hmm. But if you're not actively taking a role to be your own best advocate, what are you doing? You're turning yourself over. I'll just take whatever drugs they give me. And there is a time and a place for drugs. There really is. But if we can find a way to get you to a good place where your organs are really strong and they're radiant and you have a really healthy uterus and liver.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know you've heard this before, but the liver, it does so much to keep female hormones in balance. Mm. It's one of the reasons why a woman needs to have a very healthy liver. So, I mean, I talked to a gentleman this week, and he drinks a very significant amount of alcohol every day.
Wow.
He's lost an incredible amount of weight.
Wow.
You know what that means? That means there's a serious problem in the body.
The liver.
Well, that's one of them. And so what do we want? We want his liver to rejuvenate, and it's going to be hard to rejuvenate if he's drinking so much alcohol day in, day out. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
The thing of it is, you and I, we're not trying to criticize somebody that's drinking a boatload of alcohol, but we want to get him to a good place where you've got to put the nutrients into your body so it can in turn heal and repair and have strength. And that's one of the things I want for you is I want you to have strength. And the chances are, if you start eating liver once a week, you're probably going to tell me that your energy begins to improve and you become stronger. And you have more endurance and stamina and energy.
That's wonderful news, Dr. Morgan.
Or do you have too much energy right now?
I have plenty of energy, Dr. Morgan.
Well, could you use a little bit more?
I could use, and I'm going to try the liver. But I'm also asking for a friend of mine that she needs this information also.
Good.
Pass it on to her and try to persuade her to do what I'm already doing. Everything that you suggested, I'm already doing. So
well, you're going to lead by example. That's a good position to be in.
Yes.
It's hard for a person to recommend water to somebody that's dehydrated if they don't drink water.
Absolutely. You're right, Dr. Morgan. And she has done some things that I told her to do, so I'm going to pass.
Well, that's a move in the right direction then. Good.
Exactly. So I benefit from all of what you've told me about.
Well, you're such a good girl, and you're such a good friend to her. Way to go.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan, and you've answered all my questions this morning, and you have a happy and safe Labor Day weekend.
Oh, thank you so much. May the Lord bless you on every level.
Thank you,
Dr. Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. Thank you very much for your phone call. Welcome to the program.
Yes, my husband has trouble with drainage in his throat at night. It just mucus in his throat. What can we do about that?
Has he been dealing with this for a long time or just a short time?
Good while.
Okay, well, let me float an idea, and I'm not saying it's perfect, but there's a very famous clinic by the name of the Sloan Kettering Clinic. It's not exactly a big name like the Cleveland Clinic or Johns Hopkins or the Mayo Clinic, but they're really known for solving a lot of problems. It's a really good clinic. Well, what they said about 2 years ago, I read the article and I thought, okay, that explains a lot, but they were saying that chronic drainage and sinus problems is most likely related to an overgrowth of a fungal infection. And so you realize that we're living on a fallen world. There's toxins at every turn. But it could be that one of the issues he's dealing with is just a low-grade fungal issue that just doesn't go away. Now, I'm getting toward the solution. One of the ways to put this to the test is just greatly reduce the amount of sugar that a person takes in. Does he, by chance, eat a lot of sugar?
Yes.
Well, I don't have the article in front of me, but there was one study where they could just about determine or guarantee how much mucus and drainage was going to be there based on the amount of sugar. So what they did was they took people off all refined carbohydrates and sugar, and they just had them eat vegetables. And if they wanted something sweet, they said, let me introduce you to Mr. Strawberry or Blueberry or, you know, an apple, something like that. So if a person could do that. But mucus secretions went way, way down. And so that's one option that he has right there.
Mm-hmm.
The next one that I always look for is just the presence of a food allergy. And so probably the most common one that's going to be associated with sinus drainage or mucus draining down the back of the throat, it's probably going to be dairy products. Now, just because I say that doesn't make it so. But does he like to eat meat and vegetables?
Yes, he does.
You know what? I wonder what would happen if he didn't eat any sugar for the next 3 weeks. And then the next thing, does he crave salt at all?
No.
Does he consume salt?
No.
The reason I'm saying that is study after study has shown that if a person doesn't have enough salt just to meet the basic requirements, you are most prone to chronic infections in the sinus area that just don't go away, which I know you've heard this before. Like if somebody has a sore throat, gargle with salt water, right?
Right.
Or another one of my favorites is just half apple cider vinegar, half water, gargle with that. But if the throat pain goes away, you go, oh my goodness, that was just enough to get rid of the infection. And so there's some people, they just literally need to start kind of... whether it's a nasal saline spray or they make their... If you took a cup of warm water and you stirred a teaspoon of salt into it, that would be enough of a salt concentration right there. But he could just irrigate his sinuses or, like I say, snort it up your nose.
Yeah.
I know that sounds kind of gross. But if he started doing that several times a day and he notices a lot of the mucus and the drainage goes away, well, what we're doing is we're dissolving those biofilms. Those are the old chronic infections hanging out either in the nose or the sinuses.
Okay.
They actually make a product. It's made by Arm & Hammer. I think it's called Simply Saline. But they have one where they add just a little bit of the essential oil of eucalyptus. It's actually a very good product. So when you walk down the aisle where they have all the sinus and the allergy medications and the sinus remedies, it's usually in that little pressurized can, and it has kind of a turquoise blue color to represent the eucalyptus. But he could do that all day long every day and see if he gets some mastering, gets it fixed.
Okay, all right.
He could also wear a Breathe Right nasal strip to bed tonight to see if more oxygen equals less mucus. Does he snore at night?
Yes.
then maybe that Breathe Right nasal strip would be a simple experiment for him that would be good.
Okay. All right. Do you have time for one more question?
I do. Yes, ma'am. There's a few minutes left.
What can I have tremors in my right side. What can I do about that?
Okay, something's probably going on up in the motor neurons of the brain and the spinal cord. I'm going to tell you the simple things that you can try. If you're used to drinking a ton of coffee, I would probably limit you just to one cup of coffee. Okay, that's fine. The last time that you went to the doctor, did they do any labs to help measure your B vitamin status at all?
Yes, they said I'm taking B12.
Well, B12 is the one that I was thinking of, and usually there is an association between less than adequate B12. And what I was going to say is, if they measure your B12 and it comes in less than the number 850, that's what I think has been associated with more tremors. But the other two that I'm thinking about, vitamin B1 is called thiamine. Sometimes I've seen tremors in people that were very low in thiamine. Now, you can't correct it like lickety-split in one day or one nanosecond. It usually takes months to correct it. So if somebody has an attitude, they're just going to show up and take a little bit of thiamine for like one day and it's going to be a cure. It doesn't work that way. You have to rebuild the body. But you get all this when you eat liver. Do you like to eat liver?
Yes, I do.
Well, you should try it once.
I never eat it, but when we, I do like. What about chicken liver? Would that count?
It's not near as comparable as far as nutrient density to what beef liver is.
Okay.
Beef liver is absolutely the best, especially if you know of a rancher that raises grass-fed beef.
I don't.
The last rancher that I talked to that raises grass-fed beef, what he does is he guards his liver 24 hours a day with a shotgun. And he told me if I showed up at the front gate, I have to wave a white flag back and forth 3 times. That's the code to come in and get the liver.
Well, if you'll just get it for me, I sure would appreciate it.
Ma'am, it's a little risky because my white sheet is a little dirty right now. I need to wash it. No, and I'm just joking, but literally calf liver could be one of the most valuable ways that you could refortify and strengthen your body.
Okay. All right, thank you much. Appreciate
you,
Doctor.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You as well. Bye.
The other reason I mention that is because actually you get twice as much copper from liver as you do iron, and that's what you want. And so when you start doing things like that, your antioxidants like glutathione and the ferrooxidase, they start to increase. Your blood begins to improve. I've enjoyed being with you today. This is, I think I'm at the end of the program. I'm Dr. Roy Morgan. You're listening to Health Essentials on KBGS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.